Okay, well, good evening, everyone, and welcome, especially our Fenwick students over there in the back. Promise you I won't embarrass you. That's what I told your dad. Okay, welcome to our regular village board meeting. It is Monday, December 12th at 7 o'clock. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bochner.
Here.
Gillis.
Here.
Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell. President Meduzzi.
Here. I ask you to please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance for them.
The flag of the United States of America, the Republic, which is a nation of God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's on a variation. So if you want to wait until we get to the variations, that would probably be best. She does not want to speak, Donna?
Oh, she's behind?
She's on
Zoom? Or is she?
Oh, that's for another variation. Fair enough. Okay,
all
Donna
right.
will know that. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Let's move on to elected official comments and announcements.
No, not at all. So before I begin, I would like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Busy couple of weeks, a lot going on here in River Forest. So I was able to attend the tree trimming event over on Lake Street, which is always wonderful. It brought back memories. There was a third grade Girl Scout troop who was doing a tree, and I remember when we were doing that as with my kid. Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And was great to, I think it's the Rotary Club or Kiwanis Rotary Club who put for them to continue. Attended the Holiday Bazaar over at the Sheridan on the weekend, and just a wonderful event put on by the Oak Park River Forest Association of Realtors. They've done it at other places in Oak Park in the past,
mm-hmm.
and the Sheridan was kind enough to open doors to it. It was a wonderful, warm feeling in there, wonderful vendors. I really connected with a vendor who is Colombian herself and sells artwork for four currently Indigenous and Afro Colombian folks. And so with my background being half Colombian, connected with that. But there were so many people there, and Spoke Cafe was there. So it was nice to see them and their continued work in the community. I attended a annual event with the Chicago Accessibility Consortium around disability rights. They had a couple of disability activists talking about the state of activism in that space right now. And Dominican had a wonderful event with of braiding sweetgrass, and just felt very inspired by her words. And she is someone who talks about the Native American Indigenous traditions and their meanings. And her, if you haven't picked up the book Braiding Sweetgrass, I highly recommend. Those are my
things. One is I want to congratulate the Jeff and Seth and the Sustainability Commission for being part of the second inaugural group for EV readiness. It's a program sponsored by the Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus and ComEd. We requested to be part of the second group because at the time the second group kicks off, we will have our EV readiness study results. So it's important for us to have those results, really, I guess, make the most of, you know, kind of that effort. So I do applaud Jeff and the team for doing a great job in getting us into that. Second is, reminder, Light Up the Night of Park River Forest is this Saturday, November 17th. I was a guest evaluator for DU student final presentations on sustainability. So it was very interesting to see, you know, kind of their presentations, making recommendations to many large corporations that have a lot to do to ensure that our, you know, that we have our planet for future use by all that live on it. We have our recurring Greentown meetings, making good progress with regard to that that conference that'll take place in June of 2023. And happy holidays. We have Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa on New Year's, all kind of coming in the next couple weeks. So it'll be very busy. Enjoy, be safe, be happy with friends and family. Thank you.
Sorry, okay. Thinking it out.
Yeah.
I was giving you another chance to repeat.
Repeat it. I missed it. I'm writing
you repeated it for me, so
I
you can do
all
it again.
Right. Good evening, everyone. I got three things. Number one, on December the 6th, I, as well as Kathy Ducey, Katie Brennan, attended the Village Hall Luncheon here. It was part holiday spirit, but it was also a recognition of our employees. Various anniversaries from 5 years up to 20, 25, 20. Okay, trying to age you a little more. So, so it was great that we have so many employees celebrating the number of years that are here, and we look forward to working with the younger ones who are working towards the anniversary, the higher anniversary dates. But more importantly, I think Kathy and I think Katie and I. Sure, we speak on behalf of the full board that we want to thank all of our Village employees for all the job, the hard work you put in throughout the year, and you will continue to do that. We know we have the best, we have our faith in you as well as the residents. So thank you again for all your work. The second thing is I just want to remind District 90 has a survey. They're doing a review of their kindergarten program. They did this back approximately in 2015. And the issue, one of the issues that I understand is whether they should go from a part-time kindergarten program to a full-time kindergarten program. So they did put out a survey. I encourage all of you to please respond. It's not limited to parents who currently have their children in the school district. It's actually welcoming opinions from former parents who had kids in the school district, as well as community members. So this is really something that's important for everybody in the Village. So I do encourage you to participate in the survey, give your feedback. It's also in the Village newsletter that just went out. There's a link there, so you can just go right into the survey or go in the District 90 website as well and do that. So, and last but not least, I also join Trustee Gillis in terms of wishing everybody a safe and enjoyable holiday. Every time. Okay. Be back next year.
New to add, thank you.
Thanks. Following up on Erica's comment, I attended the Braiding Sweetgrass presentation as well. It was great, and I'm actually in a book club right now, which is a combination of the Juneteenth and TRHT group, and we're reading Braiding Sweetgrass, so... Following up on your recommendation, and following up on Rez's comment, the staff appreciation lunch was really nice. It was in the fire department this year, which I really enjoyed. Sort of fun to be in there. And shout out to Commander Greenwood, who's 25 years, which is very impressive. Those of you who missed it missed a really delicious lunch, and you also missed Matt Walsh's Star Wars Christmas sweater, which was stellar.
It should work tonight.
Hopefully it'll come out.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's going to get some good use this holiday season. So I wanted to give a follow-up on the Juneteenth Committee Winter Coat Drive, which had a flyer had been displayed here. They've collected collected and given away more than 400 coats and a lot of hats and scarves and gloves and the like. And it's been so successful, they got a matching grant, and they're doing it again that was for Thanksgiving. Now they're doing it again for Christmas. So it's another week. If you have coats, hats, winter garb, drop them off. There's a bin on my front porch, 1419 Park, for another week now. And we're going to continue to get those donations out. I think that's it.
I don't have much to add. Just wanted to also wish everyone happy holidays. I would be remiss if I didn't give a special shout out to the AP government class of Fenwick in the back, including my daughter.
Yep.
And Leah as well. Sorry, Leah. But I hope that you enjoy this lovely meeting and get something out of it. I'm sure I'll harass you later.
All right, thank you.
You'll get something out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. And yes, I had a somewhat busy week, but I want to emphasize a little bit of what everybody just said. First of all, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all of our residents and their families. I do want to emphasize the December 17th, Light Up River Forest. That's not only real important, not only for Kiwanis, because it's a fundraising event, but it is a real community spirit event for us. I mean, it's kind of cool to see all the candles lit up along the tree line or the, you know, lawn line of your home. So please spread the word and, get the candles, and hopefully you'll see the beauty of River Forest. Also, I want to emphasize the survey. I think that's a real important survey for our community. And I'd like to go on record to say that, you know, this is something that I think our community is looking for. So I think the D90 board members and the administration is looking for our input. Our input is residents. So again, we'll try to emphasize that in the newsletter, just to make sure that we get people to really do the survey, because it's important. And then last, I attended my first IML board meeting on December 2nd. It was great. We're ready for the new legislative session coming up, with new legislators coming in January. So I'll update everybody what the agenda is and the key items for us as we move into the new legislative session starting in January. So that's all I have. Again, happy holidays, and we'll go ahead and move on to, and I think Phyllis is here. If Phyllis, you'd like to speak now, this is the time to speak, Phyllis.
Great, thank you. I figured I was late. Anyway, hi everybody, happy Christmas and Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah. I want to give an end of the year report on Lake and Lathrop. You probably do go by it, since it's pretty close to Village Hall, but there is work being done. We never see more than six people there at a time. I actually took pictures, and if you want me to share my screen, I can show you pictures of today. It's going very, very slowly. Not more than six people there at a time. And I walked along Ashland, and I have a picture of the sandbags and other things that wind up holding down the netting, the fence. When it snows, it's going to be a real problem. There's just some debris there that shouldn't be there in the first place, and it's really sticking out from the fence. You can't trip over it now because you can see it, but when it snows, it'll be a problem. Also, there's a request from one of my neighbors who said when they shovel, it should be more than just a shovel's wide path. It should be the whole sidewalk should be shoveled. So I just want to give you this report on how things are going as of today. We hope it gets built. We really hope it gets built. I don't know.
Thank you, Phyllis. Appreciate it. And duly noted, we'll make sure that the signs are up and the snow is removed and properly. So thank you. Okay, so let's move on to our consent agenda. And if I can ask to get a motion and a second on consent agenda item A through I, please.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through G.
Aye.
Aye. Am I my old one?
No, not saying yes. We're saying aye.
Well, second. I have an old one.
Second.
To your right.
Yeah, just grab Bob.
Grab Bob. Okay.
We'll let you do it again.
Don't screw up when your daughter's here.
I know. My daughter's going to kill me for that
one. Get out of your mouth.
I would like to make a motion, a new motion, to approve the consent agenda items A through I.
Thank you.
Second.
All right. Very good. Any comments or questions on the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to read the consent agenda and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, November 12, 2022. B, approval of an ordinance levying taxes for corporate purposes for the current fiscal year commencing on the first day of May 2022 and ending on the 30th day of April 2023 ordinance. C, approval of accessible parking space request 7373 North Avenue ordinance. D, approval of emergency operations plan. E, 2023 public notice of meeting schedule. F, accounts payable November 2022, $2,873,992.97. G, financial report November 2022. H, department reports. I, village administrator's report. Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Bochner?
Yes.
That's very good. So we'll move on to seven recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. And we have a few variances and that were went through the Zoning Board of Appeals. So we'll take one by one. If I can get a motion to approve.
Okay. Motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variation to section 10-8-7-A of the zoning ordinance at 935 Franklin Avenue.
Second.
All right, so. Yeah, so is there anything you want to say as a petitioner? Okay, so anybody here that will, anybody, if there's any questions regarding the.
If anybody on it. Matt, do you want to provide an update on each of the items?
Do that. So this variation is for a new home construction. There was no negative comments from residents at the appeals. It was approved unanimously.
Nope. Unless any trustee have any questions or comments on this particular variant. Well, then let's better to sit down and take the vote.
All
right. Yeah, let's take the vote.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes. Hey, motion passes. Congratulations and good luck on the variance. Yeah, mm-hmm. Looks like it's good. All right, so we'll move ahead to item 7A2. If I can get a motion and a second, and then we can discuss that.
I would like to make a motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variations to sections 10-10-4 and 10-10-7 of the zoning ordinance at 7227 Thomas Avenue.
Second.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. Tell us a little bit about this one.
So this proposal is to close an existing terrace at a multi-unit property at the corner of Bonnie Bray and Thomas. The terrace was having leaking property. There's a new owner. No increase in units on the property. Just needed setbacks for some of the, but there was no negative comments at. Okay, it was approved unanimously.
Ned, while these are two separate items, the next agenda item is also related to this.
Thanks. Yeah. Any questions from the trustees? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and take the vote on 7A2.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachman.
Yes.
Get a clarification from what Brian, you said it's on the same property. There are
two different addresses, but same project, if you will.
But so there.
Yeah. Well, let's move
okay.
In a second, and then
I just wanted to correct.
Yeah, yeah,
it.
No,
okay.
So
the address is correct. I just
yeah.
Want to make sure. Okay. All right.
Two addresses, one owner adjacent.
I got you. Okay, that's. Yeah.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. If we can get a motion. And a second.
I would like to make a motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variations to section 10-10-4, 10-10-7, and 10-10-8 of the zoning ordinance at 1037 Bonnie Bray Place.
Second. You can see that by the page 426. Any questions on this? Maybe Matt, you can
just a brief.
Yeah, brief.
So this is a two-unit one home. Proposal here is to build a second garage on the back of the property. Currently, there's only two enclosed spaces for two units. Order for it to fit space in between for parking.
I have one question. Was there a letter submitted from the neighbor to the south?
There were several letters of.
So the address is 1037, and there's a letter from 1031 and 1033. I don't know if 1033 is the neighbor to the south or not. 35.
Give me a moment.
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Because this variation impacts that neighbor.
Are you asking whether they sent a letter in or no?
Yes, I'm asking if there was any input from that neighbor any one way or another.
There was one comment. There was no comment particular.
And that neighbor would have received they don't need to receive a notice or a request, do they, for this?
The applicant?
The neighbor.
The neighbor got several notices
okay.
For this project.
That's what.
One for the zoning board public hearing and then again for.
Okay. Okay. Any other further questions? Hearing none. John, if you can take the vote.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. We have a fence height variance. So 7A4. Motion. Go ahead.
Yes. Motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variation to section 4-8-5 of the Village Code at 1534 Park Avenue.
Second.
All right. The Matt?
So this property is a multi-zone commercial. Commercially zoned properties by right have the ability to one fence in the front yard. Type 1 fence is 4 feet high. from the applicant originally to a fence that was 6 feet high and the applicant was willing to lower the request for just a max 5 feet. I'll keep those conditions are part of the ordinance before you. I did have two residents speak at the zone appeals, I believe. So one was in west and one.
Donna?
Yes, thank you. First of all, Cliff, your microphone keeps cutting in and out to us anyway. We can't hear half of what you're saying, just so you're aware. But I got enough to know, to glean what you're talking about. I wanted to say that I appeared at the zoning board asking for no fence, but then learned that because they're C1, they are minimally able to get a 4-foot fence and they were granted a 5-foot fence instead. And I would just like to stand against that. I think a 4-foot fence that the board is required to authorize them is the way to go. And also several owners in my condo complex right next door, which we have driveways abutted to this property, agree. And they have sent in letters as well.
Anna?
Yes?
I don't think you're speaking.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we heard you. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Donna. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, very good.
I just have one question. One, there was a vote against it. What was the basis of that individual's vote against?
That individual stated that they do not support any front yard fences on residential properties.
Okay.
You mean of the zoning board?
Yeah.
Yes, it was a 5-1 vote.
Okay. Okay.
And to clarify, right now what we're voting on is a 5-foot fence with 80%
open.
Correct. Versus a 4-foot fence with 50% open, which is their prerogative without getting approval.
Correct. Yes, the applicant could put that up by just going through the permit process.
Thank you.
And several of the neighbors have written against it.
Thanks, Donna. We're just going to talk with the trustees at this point. Thanks.
So the visibility or openness requirement only relates to the fence. It does not relate to the landscaping inside the fence, right?
I believe that is correct.
Okay, because in the notes from the previous meeting, I think the applicant/owner had said that they were going to put in landscaping inside. My thought is fence has to have a certain degree of openness, but there's no requirement for openness with the landscaping inside. You could theoretically line the whole thing with graffiti.
Well, the neighbor to the south has that exactly. The south there is a line of arborvitae currently in the front yard. You're right.
You say arborvitae. I say arborvitae.
Yes, ma'am. I'm from Michigan.
That's right.
We're both wrong. He says it's something else.
Just a joke.
Not funny. All right.
My lawn service calls them arbor morte.
Oh, tree. All right. Any other further questions? Okay. I can ask.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Okay, let's move on to 7B1. This is the installation of bollards bollards. What do you say? Okay.
Okay.
Intersection. Go ahead, Jeff. This is going down.
I will make this quick for you here. So the Traffic Safety Commission at their last meeting heard.
We didn't get a motion yet.
Sorry.
So hang on, Jeff.
Okay. I'm just offering.
Go ahead.
Okay, motion.
You say the word.
Motion to accept the recommendation of Traffic and Safety Commission regarding bollards at Thatcher Avenue and Oak Avenue.
So the commission discussed a request to install these bollards, as mentioned. The concern is that southbound traffic, so we have at this intersection on the south leg of the intersection recently we put up a pedestrian crossing there. So it's highly effective, but the concern is that as southbound traffic approaches that crossing, when traffic flows to allow pedestrians to cross, some of the traffic that's stacked behind, anecdotally, it's believed that the stacking traffic might think that the lead vehicle is just waiting to turn left across Thatcher Avenue. And so they veer around the stop vehicles through the parking lane and enter the intersection. Not great when there are pedestrians crossing there. So the idea is to create a physical barrier like we've done on Chicago and William, or on Washington at Keystone, where there are physical barriers to prevent vehicles from driving through the parking lane. So this is very much in line with those other bollards that we've put up over the last year or so. And again, like those other ones, these would be seasonal as well, removed in the winter for snowplow operation.
Makes sense to me. The only question I had was, is this a unique intersection, or are we going to be hearing the same thing at multiple intersections all over town?
Slightly unique in the sense that there is no stop on Thatcher, it's a high volume road, and it's a designated route in the safe walking routes to school. So that's why we put the crossing up there. And if this is a byproduct of installing the crossing, or just a busy a risk of pedestrian vehicle conflict at that intersection, it makes sense to do it in this case. Keep in mind too, the underlying qualifier here is that the Des Plaines River Trail bike path, when that comes through, that is in this area. So this might be a short-term improvement that is complete once the bike plan kind of takes. So this as a short-term implementation, I think is some pretty low-hanging fruit, but also more to follow once the state or the village-wide traffic study results start coming back. No motion needed, just a quick update.
Oh, I thought we had a motion.
We had a motion.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Not ordinance-based. Okay.
Yep. All done.
I just have one request. Yeah. So this goes into when we get through the traffic study next year, if we can look for something other than bollards, there's a lot of other things. So we can increase the aesthetics. I mean, I don't want a town full of plastic yellow sticks. So I know we have to get through the study, and I know, we're going to learn a lot, but then we have to come up with something that is more in keeping with kind of what we want to look at as a village.
Sure. And similar to the implementations that are going on up north at this point, too, permanent installations, if Keystone and Washington and Chicago and William and Thatcher and Oak, if we like them and want them to be permanent implementations, I would imagine we could absolutely put curbing in there and do basically bump outs like we've done along Chicago or Lake Street.
Planned Arbor V-Day.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you call it.
Okay, well, good. Thank you.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Barton.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Move on to new business. We'll need a motion to review and accept the 2022 annual comprehensive financial report.
Motion to accept the village's annual comprehensive financial report for the fiscal year ended April 30th, 2022.
Second.
Rosie?
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to briefly discuss some financial highlights that are included in my memo, and afterwards we have Martha Trotter from Sickage will go over the annual comprehensive financial report and the SAS 114 letter, which is the required communications from the auditors. Please feel free to jump in anytime with questions or anything. So, a summary of the general fund revenues is on page one of my memo. Overall, actual revenues exceeded budgeted revenues by $2.4 million, or 14.5%. just under 15%. The key reasons for this. Property tax revenues, if you recall last year, the first installment of property tax revenues were not due until May 3rd. So revenues are recorded in the fiscal year they're collected. We budgeted only for the 2021 levy, and we ended up receiving a partial, we budgeted for half of the year for 2020 and half 2021, and this fiscal year we received the partial of the first installment and then the second installment and then the first installment of the 2021. So that's why you see that large increase in receipts. Income tax revenues were over $400,000 more than budgeted, and that's just what we've seen across the board in corporate and personal income taxes. They're coming in way above projections, even from the IML's projections. Sales tax and non-home real tax obviously are flow with inflation and the consumer price index. So we saw large increases in those in the last year based on what we budgeted because of the expectations were not that high. So these revenues are based on the consumer spending and the cost of goods and services. Now looking at the general fund expenditures by department, which are on page 2 of my memo, they are slightly above the budget amount for the fiscal year, but in most cases, the departments were right around where the budget was. We saw increases in the boards and commissions because that's what we're doing a lot of. We're doing a lot of testing and getting lists ready for both police and fire. And legal services were higher than we had budgeted. The other department's expenditures were either lower than the budgeted or in line with the budgeted amounts. Contributions to the police and fire pension funds are higher than the prior fiscal year, but the budget reflects the amount the 2021 property tax levy, which is from the approved pension funding policy, but like I had said earlier, the collections are what the actuals reflect. The chart on page 3 shows total revenues and expenditures for the general fund and the impact on fund balance. Fund balance increased by $2.1 million for the fiscal year. The village policy requires that the unassigned fund balance plus the amount restricted for working cash can be at least 25% of the subsequent year's expenditures. This amount increased to 38.7% from the 33.1% in the prior fiscal year after the prior year adjustment that was made. And Martha will touch a little bit on that. That was due to a change in recording of balances at IRMA. And the rest of the increase is due to reductions in non-essential purchases by all departments and increases in those revenues that we already touched on. The chart on page 4 of my memo summarizes the water and sewer fund. The water and sewer fund net position decreased by $324,000. Revenues were slightly above budget due to increases in billed water consumption, and that could be due to weather conditions and the usage. The rates were increased by 0.45% on June 1st, 2021, to offset the 1.1% increase in the cost of water from the City of Chicago. So I do encourage you all to read the transmittal letter and the management's discussion and analysis. It's very good reading. The annual report includes a great deal of information in these documents provide a description of the financial statements and summarize and explain the village's financial activities during the fiscal year. And I just want to give a shout out to the admin staff, everybody, Brian, Matt, Kiki, Kathy, Kathleen, and Adriana. It's a team effort to put this document together, and it takes quite a while. So I appreciate everybody's hard work and diligence on this. And now I'll introduce you to Martha Trotter. She is our partner at Sickage, and she will give you just a little bit more overview on the big report.
Rosie. Good evening. My name is Martha Trotter. I'm the partner on the Village's audit engagement. And as Rosie noted, I'm here to present the results of the annual comprehensive financial report and touch on the board communication. Just to briefly, before I begin, we want to extend our gratitude and appreciation for all the hard work and effort that goes into preparing for an audit. This was our first year auditing the village, so especially with a first year audit engagement, there is a lot of information that we're requesting that a prior auditor might already have, getting to understand the village's operations, making sure that we have a solid understanding, and building the reports does take a lot of effort, and we do appreciate all the hard work that was put into preparing for the audit and the assistance that was provided to us. So I do want to extend our appreciation for that. As part of the annual audit, we have issued the annual comprehensive financial report, which is the big report you have in front of you. The board communication, which includes required communications required by auditing standards to communicate to those charged with governance. Also, the Illinois compiled statutes requires a management letter to be posted on the village's website. The TIF reports are required to be filed with the Joint Review Board, the IMRF allocation report to be issued and provided to the library to show the share of the library's allocation of IMRF, net pension liability or asset, the GATA cipher, which is a requirement from the Grant Accountability Transparency Act issued by the state of Illinois to be filed with that agency. And finally, the annual financial report filed with the state comptroller. So quite a lot of reports. My focus will be on the annual comprehensive financial report. And first, one thing that Rosie did not note, and I want to call everyone's attention to, in the introductory section of the ACFR, there is a Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. And I do want to highlight this is the certificate for the prior year audit, and this denotes the village's excellence in financial reporting. The report is submitted annually to the Government Finance Officers Association and meets the standards required by that association in terms of transparency and the amount of information that is presented in the report. So it's an excellent financial report, as noted by this designation. And the village once again anticipates receiving this honor for the annual comprehensive financial report you have in front of you. It has been prepared according to those guidelines and standards and has been submitted for that recognition. So great effort there. Also in the introductory section is where you'll find that letter of transmittal that Rosie noted, which I do, that is prepared by village staff and provides a good summary highlight of the report as well as some upcoming highlights and expectations. In the financial section of the independent auditor's report and the reason for issuing and for undergoing an audit is where you will find our independent auditor's report, and that's the opinion on the annual comprehensive financial report. And I am pleased to be able to present a clean, unmodified opinion on the village's financial statements. That is the highest level of opinion we can issue. That's the highest level of assurance we can provide. So based on the audit performed in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards, as well as government auditing standards and that additional compliance due to the level of grant activity that the village had in this fiscal year, we were able to complete all the testing required, all the additional compliance testing, and issue a clean, unmodified opinion on these financial statements you have in front of you.
And is it fair to say then there's really no concerns for this board in terms of what you audited?
In terms of what we've audited, yes. And that actually leads me to a few areas to highlight. In the annual comprehensive financial report, there were no pronouncements that were issued in the current year or implemented that changed drastically the reporting or accounting. There was one restatement that we noted that was included in the balances that you have, and that was, as Rosie noted, due to a change in accounting for the IRMA deposits, deposits with IRMA that are considered not to be readily usable by the village that were previously included as prepaids or deposits, which that was the one adjustment that was recommended and discussed with the village, and that was implemented. So in the board communication, which is the smaller report you have in front of you, that is where we would note any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies or other deficiencies that we encountered during our audit procedures. We had none to report. We also, in that required communication, is where we would disclose any difficulties encountered during the audit or disagreements. Once again, nothing to report of that nature. So the main highlights in the board communication that we have for you, outside of the fact that there are none of those items, is just a discussion of the upcoming GASB pronouncements, which there are, it's a lengthy list, a lot of work ahead, but we will, of course, provide any trainings and assistance in implementing those standards according to the timeline, the big one being leases for the upcoming fiscal year. So there will be some changes in the accounting procedures and policies for the upcoming fiscal year, but none that were implemented in the prior year. The fact that there was just one audit adjustment, we're able to tell you that the monthly financials that you review, the budget versus actual statements that are provided to you at a regular basis, those are accurate balances. We only had that one adjustment that was recommended and implemented in the report. So that tells you as a board that the financials that you're reviewing and using to make your decisions are accurate and fairly stated.
Thank you.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, thank you. Rosie, is that any more for you? Okay. Yeah, we do. There's a motion.
We accepted it. Yes, we do. I'm down, Rosie.
Oh, we're thinking about it.
So thank you. Thank you, Rosie. Thank you, finance people. Thank you, Sikkim.
You're going to talk about the comprehensive plan? Well, we got to vote first.
Yeah, we have to vote.
So,
we do.
Hang on.
I'm just standing in the batter's box.
Yeah, all right. Sure. Well, first of all, I mean, you know, let's go ahead and take a vote, please.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Great. For the record, I'm sure on behalf of the board, myself, we'd like to say thank you to your team, Rosie,
right,
for doing an excellent job. I know it's also the administration, the staff that you are surrounded by also helps help with all this. But it is refreshing and reassuring for all of us here around this table to know that, you know, we have
For Sickage, too.
Well, yeah, goodbye. We pay them to just make sure. They do the work.
Okay.
So, thank you. Interrupt my speech here, for God's sake.
Sorry.
Anyway, all good. So thank you for everything you do. All right, so let's move on to the motion to do the approval of the camera.
Okay. I move to authorize the village's contracted vendor, Griffin Systems, to install cameras and related hardware software for $105,114 using monies in the FY 2023 Capital Improvement Fund.
Okay. Okay, Jim. Welcome, Chief.
Good evening.
You look pretty good with this tie.
Thank you. I dress up well when I'm before you, especially when we're asking for money.
Right.
I first want to recognize, though, the two future leaders in the back of the room here from Fenwick. I let them know, class of 1985 right here. My brother was class of 1990. So hopefully they'll go back and share that excitement with the class tomorrow.
And then
so you're never going to believe we met all these.
I just have a brief presentation, very brief, and Matt's going to bring it up. Anytime we go before the board asking money for this project, as you know, this project's gone on since 2014. It's become very popular, and we've actually, I think, influenced and inspired some other communities to create their own programs. So this is another phase of the project that we're doing. And once again, the equipment, it's good sometimes to share. Motorola bought out the company Avigilon that we use. It's now a section of Motorola. And we use two different types of technology here. So just anytime we can educate, we can do this for 8 hours, but to give you a snapshot every time we come before you is nice. So this is one of the types of cameras we use, which is a pan tilt zoom camera, and you'll see its capabilities in a few minutes here. The next type of cameras we use is a multi-head camera, which you'll see a lot in the commercial and government sectors, which allows for one piece of hardware to have anywhere from 1 to 6 lenses that operate within the camera itself to point out different directions, and it really allows for a more compact and visually pleasing device out there being used in the public. The next slide, just to kind of share a little bit, there is some artificial intelligence attached to it. It is not facial recognition, so I know that sometimes comes up as a question here, but there is appearance search, which we'll show in a couple seconds what that means. But the whole idea is to be able to search for items quicker than we would be. In the old days, you'd have to look at 8-10 hours worth of footage. Now we can search. You're looking for a red car. You're looking. You have a photo of someone that was involved in an incident or a missing person, and you can put those parameters in, and it will try to find either in the future or in the past where that person may have appeared within our street camera system. And it learns, it's sort of self-learning, and this technology is really advancing. We can go to the next slide. And just some of the capabilities of the pan tilt zoom, the PTZs. On the left, you'll see a completely zoomed out view, and you'll recognize that as the town center, and that camera is on the 400 block of Harlem Avenue. Now, that same camera, as you move in a little bit closer, now we have a mid-range view and full zoom, so you can see the capabilities of it. Whether it's used for evidence, whether it's used to track incidents, whether it's the supervisors that are watching, doing their job supervising the officers' actions on a call.
Can I ask a question before
you go?
So a couple slides ago, you talked about how the AI learns from itself. Is that individual cameras, or is that system-wide through River Forest?
It's the software. It's the software in River Forest. And those capabilities keep growing as a development of that software and upgrades occur from the manufacturer
itself.
Yeah,
it's a system-wide.
This is an example. We talked a little bit about the smart analytics that Trustee Bachner was talking about. Here we can identify vehicles. You'll see the boxes around vehicles. You see it around a bike. You see it about a pedestrian. If you can sort of see the smaller vertical box near the old Starbucks entrance. So if you were looking for all pedestrians that were walking between 12 midnight and 5 a.m., that could be searched within a matter of minutes compared to having to watch 5 hours worth of footage. If we were looking for a bus, once again, we could search using those parameters, using times and descriptions. And it does the same also for bicyclists. No, this is not. These are not the license plate reader cameras. We do have those already, but they are not this vendor is not the provider for those camera, those license plate readings or systems. We talked a little bit about the appearance search, where if this person had been missing, we would be able to insert that into the analytics and be able to track other times within our system, within the River Forest system, that this person appeared within the cameras. Sometimes that helps create a sort of a breadcrumb trail of where they are walking to, and have the ability maybe to help locate that person if they were missing, or if someone was involved in criminal activity, to be able to search for the different areas of the village where they appeared also on the camera. The real world usage, as we've seen it over the past 14 years, whether it's missing children or adults, Alzheimer's, dementia, patients, we've used the system to assist in locating them. There's also the ability for, as the public's asked for, and state, county, and local government has asked for more accountability for our law enforcement officers and transparency. They're on camera, and there's a historical record of their actions. And the incidents themselves, I definitely want to mention there's been numerous cases of criminal investigations where evidence has been gathered. And that's not just criminal, but also traffic crash investigations. And it's really a false or force multiplier out there. And I think sometimes you've seen some of the stories or photos over the years where it's really helped the victims of crimes that are resident River Forest residents or those that work or commute through the community.
Which organizations besides police departments would this be shared with, if any?
Well, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, the Public Defender's Office, the U.S. Attorney's Office, any attorney that provides a subpoena can obtain it. And also in some cases, pending, of course, redaction, FOIAs, FOIA requests also. And you guys are welcome at any time. We've had opportunities over the years to show the footage to residents. As the same, as you know, we have in-car camera systems, soon to have body camera systems. And we share this when asked by the public, especially our residents that would like to see an incident from, hate to say it, it's a one-dimensional or two-dimensional perspective, but been very successful so far. Just to give a quick recap on what we have right now, we have 20 PTZ cameras in the Lake Street corridor, which includes our educational, business, and religious institution community. It's the heart, the River Forest, and that started back with the end of the TIF district back 2008-2010. The South Zone, which was approved by the board earlier this year, or I'm sorry, under last year's budget, was approved 14 PTZ cameras and multi-head cameras, and that covered the area between Washington Boulevard and Madison. And by the time those cameras made were up and running, we were already assisting Forest Park and Maywood with some incidents, very serious incidents that occurred in their town, and also some very serious incidents that occurred within the village of River Forest. The proposal, as was put together back in 2020 by the consultants, was the middle zone expansion, which is to include between Chicago Avenue and Augusta and Thatcher and Harlem Avenue. And you could see the locations of where the eight cameras will be installed by the vendor. And this is something that's been part of a plan that's been available to the board since 2020, and it's always good. Once again, just as we get closer to asking for approval to, of course, share this with you again. Yes?
When you're, like, let's say Harlem and Augusta, where you ask, would you need two?
Due to the foliage, the landscaping, the setting up of the light poles over there, certain camera systems wouldn't work. So in order to get a better view, instead of having one camera, we have to put two PTZs pointing either direction to really get the coverage that was recommended by the vendors.
Is there
know you got phase one, phase two. Is there going to be any further expansion of this for, I guess?
Yes, next budget year,
okay.
There will be the what's called the North Expansion, and that will go from Division to North Avenue, and once again, Harlem to Thatcher.
And then that will complete the whole building.
Well, you know, unfortunately, no,
okay.
but for budgetary reasons, and so we're planning accordingly and making sure we're not draining the funds of our budgetary
sure.
Monies coming in. It's almost looked at as an optimization or cleanup, which is phase five, in which to keep the costs low, it's sort of runs from North Avenue to Madison, and there's just some gaps in coverage that the vendor and the consultant thought that these would be good spots. And so there is one more phase
okay.
after that north phase. It's the least expensive of the phases, to let you know, and similar costs for that north phase after the middle phase also. It's similar in costs that will be coming back to the board to ask.
And that would be fine. I just want an idea where we're at in the project.
I think you can hit the, we're coming up to, yeah, in here. And these cameras are used daily, and they're not just meant for sergeants to use in the office or detectives to use. If you've come into the village hall, you can see them up on the second floor of the village hall. They're also in other locations, report writing, the roll call room downstairs, and each one of the squad cars that has a laptop has access to these, and they have the ability to move the cameras and use the cameras. All these tools are out there, and to limit their use would not be a service to the community that we're here to serve. Just to talk a little bit about some of the partnerships and the reason why this is an important program is that we have MOUs with District 90.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Condon, this was very a no-brainer for Dr. Condon to sign on, and we all know some of the problems that have occurred throughout the nation in the schools. And once again, this helps us really another tool to kind of help the kids safe or get eyes on an incident while it's occurring, while officers are responding or in critical incident mode.
What is the partnership? What is it?
There was MOUs that were signed by the board that allows us to view the cameras.
Okay.
They use the same system, the Avigilon system through Motorola, and the same with the Sheridan Senior Living Facility. They have allowed us to share their systems. And actually what's unique also with them is being that they're at Chicago Avenue in Harlem, they actually have a couple outdoor cameras that have been used in some investigations and assisting Oak Park also already. So it's really, you know, those public-private partnerships that are really helping. And also I think it helps for some of the costs where if we didn't have some of those partnerships, some of these costs for the programs would you have to look at whether they're feasible here.
Brian, do you know in relation to costs for the Northern North Avenue part, is that something that we anticipate using?
It doesn't. There aren't any cameras that are directly attributed to just North Avenue, but there will be some that are positioned along the alley. So I would imagine that we'll be able to capture funds out of the test district for in that particular.
And just so once again, a little background, we get asked off and on about how do these systems work? Well, the video comes in off the street cameras through a wireless radio, and we have access points throughout the village. We have some of our higher condo buildings that we've signed agreements with that allow us for public safety reasons to be an access point. And once again, not only is the cameras used after the fact, they're really used live, real time on a regular basis. A Avigilon video. I'm sorry, that's okay. Just the access points, as they'll refer, gets sent back to the back hall, which is back here at the village hall, and then from there, we're able to use the system internally and storage We have a storage policy, which is 90 days. Some things are permanent saves, which means it's being used for evidence or a crime or an incident. Or if we're aware of something where there could be liability to the village, of course, those become permanent saves and part of a packet that would go to the attorneys or IRMA representing the village. And I think we're coming up to the end where we talk about since 2016, there's been 1,800 video requests processed by our records department. And one of the big parts of that is our administrative sergeant, Marty Grill, is sort of the guru and go-to person, not just for our community, but for other communities regarding the video system. But we do take in a lot of requests. They run a very busy operation up there. And it's only going to get busier once we add in the body camera systems also. You know, we talked a little bit about before who we're sending this information to, who asks for it, and it's every one of those organizations on a regular basis. During some of the civil unrest that occurred, at least gave us the ability to keep an eye on things from afar without having to have an officer stationed somewhere or take resources somewhere where there wasn't any criminal activity going on. And we thought that was important. And once again, the historical data of what officers were doing in town during those incidents or events, I think was equally important. And this is, we didn't want to show any videos. We didn't want to show anything that would be disturbing. But this is a snapshot of an accident we had a few years ago that some of you may remember at the Starbucks, which had two cars that were street racing. And that is a sort of action shot prior to some real bad things happening. But this was used not only by the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, but also the civil attorneys and insurance companies that were mitigating that event. The individual that was held responsible for that was convicted, and one of the main things that filed in that conviction was the video provided by our agency. This in the corner here, this was an incident where we had a theft offender, and a resident had called in a suspicious person, and at the same time we were looking for the theft offender, we were able to bring that individual up on the street cameras, and officers were able to respond and make an arrest there. If you're wondering what intersection it is, for some of you that you get turned around, it's Thatcher and Hawthorne, Thatcher and Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. And this was just an example of some shots where you can, once again, you have a vehicle or an individual that's committed a crime or is missing, and you're able to take all the different camera views, and you see several here, and sort of map out and create the breadcrumb trail of where they were and at what time. You know, it's great to have those time stamps. And once again, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office really appreciates this type of evidence when they're trying to prosecute cases. And this incident, I think we're all very familiar with. This is the aftermath of the 10-year-old young lady that was hit on her bike at Jackson and Lake Street. Of course, we will not show that video. It is very heartbreaking to watch. But this is the ability of everyone from the fire chief back at the station to get eyes on what his personnel's doing. And that camera was actually pretty much zoomed in on that area right there and caught the whole incident on tape. And once again, those videos have been turned over to the Cook County State's Attorney's Office for their use and once again, the insurance companies. Now, if you're wondering where that camera is, it's right at the, as you would be turning into the Jewel, the North Jewel entrance on Lake Street there. And this is just to highlight the Griffin Systems that is mentioned within your packet, that's our approved vendor. And Avigilon, once again, was just bought out recently by Motorola Solutions. And that's the brief presentation. And once again, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
questions for Jim? Let me. No, no doubt they're useful. Yeah. Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, great. Let's take the vote, please.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Real good. Before we move on, the other thing I'd like to request, and I forgot to tell the board, today I went to a Mayor's Caucus annual meeting, and the Kane County State's Attorney did a phenomenal job of presenting the Safety Act.
Yes.
And I just think maybe in January, if you're all okay with that, Jim, I don't know if you can or somebody from the State's Attorneys in Cook County can give us the highlights of the Safety Act and, more importantly, you know, the changes, the slight changes that they made, mm-hmm. because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I think the tweaks that they've made probably address some of the issues that I know were out there. So if you're comfortable with that.
We can.
Good. I'm sure all of you are. I mean, the state's attorney from Kane County, you
right.
know, just gave
She's that. Good.
Right, she was right. very good. So.
And I will.
That would be great.
About
yeah.
And,
I think it would be good if we could get somebody from
right.
the state. But if can't, we can't. But.
Same attorney was at the IML conference.
Yes.
Yeah. She's
yeah.
good.
Learned a lot. Okay. So, very good. So let's go on to 9C, the approval of the intergovernmental agreement with Elmwood Park. Oh, did we?
No,
yeah, we voted on
no.
it. Yep. Voted on the street cameras.
Right. Motion to approve a resolution authorizing the execution of intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Elmwood Park regarding the North Avenue streetscape project.
Thank you. I'll make this very brief. There are two different kinds of Irishmen. There are Mr. O'Shea and there's Mr. Murphy. So we'll let Murphy go short and brief. Included in your packet is the intergovernmental agreement with us and the Village of Elmwood Park as it relates to an agreement to develop a streetscape plan for North Avenue. Christopher Burke Engineering provided a proposal to Elmwood Park in the amount of, we'll check my math here, $274,303 to develop a long-term plan to develop a streetscape plan for North Avenue from Harlem to Thatcher. As you recall, the village has worked with Elmwood Park over the years to develop a long-term plan for that corridor. We have a corridor study that we've completed to give some direction and guidance on what a streetscape plan could look within that area. We have made past applications with the Village of Elmwood Park for ITEP funds, and the City of Chicago recently secured grant funds for improvements on North Avenue from where it currently the improvements end right at in Oak Park and continue across to Lathrop. We want to continue. Well, first off, we want to develop that piece that is from Thatcher to Lathrop and then continue the plans all the way through to Thatcher and position ourselves for future grant dollars and improvements in that corridor.
So, Brian, it's okay, just a little confusing. Is this mm-hmm. for all of North Avenue from Harlem to Thatcher?
And this is all of North Avenue from Harlem to Thatcher, correct.
Okay. And then the money that's associated with this together with Elmwood Park, is that grant money?
So the monies that we would pay for this study our portion will come out of the TIF district. Theirs will come out of their BID and or TIF funds.
Okay. This is great. This is working.
And then it does position us to be able to go after those future grants.
The sides of the street, or is it for the middle of the street?
Yes.
Okay.
not neither either or both.
Yeah. Right?
The whole vision for the entire.
Does this help with any calming of North Avenue? Is there an anticipation of that?
That's the anticipation, is that there will be some calming techniques and efforts that are a result of this, yes.
So it says it's assumed there are no new uncontrolled pedestrian crossings of North Avenue. I know when we drive along North Avenue, there's always people across four lanes of traffic. But this study is not going to address adding any new pedestrian crossings.
That's correct.
It's not going to.
That's correct. We're actually looking at ways to reduce and slow down traffic and position pedestrian crossings where they're safer. We'll be looking at the ADA improvements that are already being considered by IDOT. Again, this is an IDOT road, so we do have some limitations on what it is we can expect to do.
I just have one question about the contract. On page 2, paragraph 2, the last sentence, I think there might be an unintended consequence there. What happens under this agreement is that Elmwood Park pays the vendor, and then we pay the Elmwood Park.
Correct.
And if Elmwood Park doesn't pay the vendor on time, they get docked with 18% interest. And in the last sentence there, I think it says right now that if River Forest hasn't paid Elmwood Park, then River Forest has to reimburse Elmwood Park for any interest that Elmwood Park is liable for. But it really should be for any interest that Elmwood Park is liable for based on River Forest's 50% portion.
That's a good point.
If Elmwood Park doesn't pay, we don't want to pay their interest.
Yeah. Correct.
So if you just add based on River Forest 50% portion or something like that, I think we're good.
Mm-hmm. Elmwood Park, attorney.
Yeah, we were talking.
Okay, very good.
Acceptable to approve it.
Marco, would you agree to that?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have no executive session. Okay, so we'll just look for an adjournment. How about that, Lisa?
Move to adjourn. Yeah.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Yes. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.